This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is on the air. This is Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are bringing to you the 340th episode of Wells Tech on this May 6th, 4 o'clock, Tuesday afternoon. We've been doing it at 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon for how long? And I have to think, what day and time is this? Central time, I can add that, so.
You're a busy guy, Martin. We forgive you for being a little juggled there. I want to say happy May 6th Teacher Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that's I'm sure there's a lot of teachers listening, watching, so we appreciate that. And yeah,
I appreciate the ones that joined me last week on the podcast, because you weren't with us last week, Martin. You had to miss the show last week, and I had a whole group of support in the form of those techie teachers.
Yeah.
So that was a blessing last week, and certainly they're a blessing across our synod and across all the different school systems out there as they share their knowledge with students day in and day out.
What that usually means for me is that Debbie wants to go to Applebee's because they have, I think, certain meals are free for teachers on this day. I don't know if that's countrywide or nationwide, but
good thing I gave you that reminder so you're prepared. As you drive home, you can be figuring out what you want to eat at Applebee's tonight.
Yep. Did you know Sunday was Star Wars Day? 38 years, May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, that's a totally geeky thing, huh? Actually, Sunday here was a big day. If the boys had been able to go to Comic-Con, one of the Doctor Who actors was in Minneapolis. So some of their friends actually got their picture made with him. So all kinds of geekiness going on this past weekend.
Speaking of geekiness, we're going to continue that tradition because that's kind of what we do here. We try and put a ministry spin or flair on it so that there's a reason for everybody to tune in rather than just hear us jabber on about technology. We felt it was high time, and browsers have been in the news a lot, to talk about browsers, even though they're the day in and day out resource that we all use, probably without even thinking about them. But there are some reasons to think about them, and there are some reasons, as we'll discuss, to pick one over another. So we're going to call our show Browser Wars, as Sally rightly shared with me before we went on the air. I like the conflict, the competition, and not that I don't think we're going to come up on different sides of this issue, but it's always good to get that little that flavor into the show.
Not that we're going to come up on different sides of the issue, but you sure do hope we do, so you
yes,
can argue with me.
Yes, I work very hard.
Yeah.
At least there's one or two points that we can be on opposite sides of the fence.
And just for those
of you
that...
That's what good radio is.
Yeah, that aren't aware, I pretty much detest conflict, so we're at conflict about conflict, Martin. I wonder if we'll be at conflict about...
You hold your own, though, so nobody's going to shed any tears for Sally Draper. All right, so where do we start?
I guess maybe we need to talk about why browsers would be a topic on the Wells Tech podcast, and you tipped your hat a little bit about that and the fact that browsers are kind of ubiquitous these days. We live in our browsers. I guess I can't tell you how many times today I've opened up different browser windows. I would guess probably over 100 times just in the course of the day, researching things, looking for things, interacting with different websites, using my phone to search out things, whatever it may be. The browser is the tool, the conduit that we go through to get to the World Wide Web. And so it is an important tool for us as ministers of the gospel as well. And in our teaching, our preaching, our daily activities, we're going to use browsers to carry out that work.
Yep, that's, I think, in this Web 2.0 world that we have, that's just kind of a fact of life, as you said. And if you doubt that, I don't think you need to look any further than your browser history just to kind of see where you've been on the web over the course of today or the past week. That many of the tools, if a school is a Google Apps tool, I mean, you spend your entire day in a browser. Same with Microsoft products now that are online. And, you know, depending on your student information system or Schoology, or if you are, you know, preparing a sermon, Lugus is you know, can be a browser-based experience. So there's, it's an important consideration, because not all browsers are created equal, right?
That's true, and we're going to look a little bit at some of the differences. I think not all browser users are created equal either, so we probably should have a disclaimer on the front end of it that your mileage may vary. Your experience is yours personally, and you may have certain preferences. I like certain browsers just because they're pretty, because of the interface, and that's an interface that I'm comfortable with, whereas another browser may be something that someone else is comfortable with. So yeah, I don't think right. There's any right or wrong answer. I think if it crashes on you enough times, some browsers could be taken off the slate if they just kind of perform.
Fall in and out of favor depending on their crashability.
Exactly.
I think probably the thing that drives the selection process the most is your apps, because sometimes the apps that you use have a preference. Now, this is, I think, diminishing more and more, but I think there are still different apps that perform better on different platforms. You know, the Google, I mean, I think our experience with the Google stuff, with Google Apps and with Google Hangouts and Google Docs, those kinds of things, I believe they perform better in Google Chrome.
Imagine that. Google writes for their browser. Yeah.
It would not be a surprise to anybody, but that is the case. And there, it depends on how the apps are coded, how they're going to run, but don't be surprised if there are some features that work better on some than others.
Sure. Probably one that jumps right to mind, Martin, and maybe for many of our Wells Tech listeners, is our very own Connect website that we use for our internal support of different boards and commissions, and all the work of the Senate is over on connect.wells.net. That's actually a SharePoint installation. SharePoint is a Microsoft product. Guess what? It works best in Internet Explorer, Microsoft's browser. So just another example of you know, applications that don't always perform well in other browsers.
Right. One other thing that maybe you will want to think about and keep an eye on if you're trying to determine what browser is working best in my particular computing circumstances is memory usage. I think there are times where one browser, maybe it's a combination of an app in a browser or the number of browser windows, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of different circumstances, but they all kind of point back to how you're using your browser, what you're using it for, could slow your machine down. I've noticed that with Chrome. If you look in your if you're on Windows, if you look in Task Manager, you can see sometimes 15, 20 open threads running that Chrome has started, and that's just the way they've architected it. The reason that they do that very often is so that if one tab crashes, it doesn't crash the entire browser, so they clear out a section of memory just for that tab to run in. But that can consume a little bit more space, and depending on how much memory you have on your computer, that may make your machine a little more sluggish or cause the processor to start running that fan to keep it cool, which could slow things down as well.
So, yeah, take into consideration what you're doing in the app before you start blaming the app necessarily. If you're, you know, really stretching its capabilities, that might be why it doesn't perform well in those circumstances.
So I'm sure the audience is just dying to know, Sally, what you use and maybe what I use on a day-to-day basis. They're on the edge of their seats.
You're going to let me go first, huh?
That doesn't matter.
Well, I will say that my go-to app is absolutely Google Chrome. I'm a Chrome fangirl, and I like a lot of things about it. I especially like the interface. It just seems intuitive. It's super cool. It's really rounded and pretty, and I just like Chrome. I like the extensions that I have available to me in Chrome. I've invested in setting Chrome up, and Being able to log into it from multiple computers and have all of my Chrome settings come along for the ride. And so for that reason, while I use Firefox for certain occasions, I pretty much edit the MLC website in Firefox because it performs best in Firefox, the Plone content management system we use there. I use Internet Explorer for SharePoint, Connect, Access, but the majority of my time I spend in Google Chrome.
Okay.
That's where I live.
I can buy that. I spend most of my work day in Internet Explorer because I'm dealing with some Microsoft products that seem to work best there. And I think the latest versions of Internet Explorer, Internet Explorer 11, is a really stable platform. And it just helps to stay in one of those ecosystems if you're there, rather than, you know, jumping around from browser to browser. I'd say when I'm using my Mac at home, I do use Chrome because I don't have an Internet Explorer option there, and I'm just fine with that. And stuff we do for the show, we're living in this Chrome world as well, so we're using Google Hangouts in Chrome, so I do have reasons to use it. I was, I think I mentioned maybe 3 to 4 months ago, on kind of the Firefox bandwagon. It is a great browser, great plugins. It's maybe the most secure of all the browsers, but maybe this is a bad reason, because you could probably point at something going on within each of these companies that a Christian would not be real happy with. But, you know, about 2 months ago, the Mozilla, who's the open source project that owns Firefox or runs Firefox, the CEO was fired because he made a political contribution to support the Prop 8 efforts in California, which is the same-sex marriage initiative, or to uphold the one man and one woman
marriage
sure. Guidelines. Sure. In California.
California.
And so they fired him because he contributed to that, and they thought, boy, that was terrible. And I said, yeah, that's good enough for me to say bye-bye Firefox. So, like I say, it may not be a real great reason, and I'm sure Microsoft and Google have similar feelings, but that was so public and, you know, so distasteful that I said, no, I don't need Firefox. So if you're listening, Mozilla, you lost one customer.
Yep.
whatever that matters. But again, that's not to say that you shouldn't use it or couldn't use it. There are, you know, certainly business reasons to select whatever product, and you know, that's just kind of the way things are.
So obviously, you can get the latest and greatest versions of these by just Googling Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, or whatever.
Don't forget Safari. We have some
Safari is there. That's right.
Very solid. I use that once in a while too. But
And then on the mobile side, Martin, you have options, especially if you're an Android-based mobile user. You have probably more options. But even on iOS, there's a Chrome browser for iOS and things. The caveat is, on iOS, on an iPhone or an iPad, you can't change your default browser. So when you click a link, it will open in the Safari browser. You have no choice. If you want to run another browser, you certainly can use it for whatever surfing you do. But when you open up links, they automatically open. So you'd be kind of running two different browsers if you chose to use an alternate browser on those platforms. And for that reason, I've pretty much stuck with Safari on the iOS platform.
I think you can jailbreak. I may be wrong on this. Maybe our hardcore iOS users can let us know. But I think you can jailbreak your phone and actually make that change, that default browser change. But another reason to kind of select your or want the flexibility, maybe select the browser of choice on the mobile side, is the whole syncing that is now available across platforms. And when I say platforms, I mean desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone. If you're using the same browser, let's say you use Chrome across all those platforms, your bookmarks will sync, your browsing history will even sync And sometimes even depending on how you've set it up, your logins will even sync. So that's a huge benefit as opposed to trying to live in all these separate worlds and, well, now I'm on my phone and I can only use this and so on and so forth. So there are some pretty big advantages for trying to keep up with the same browser, whether it's a mobile or a desktop laptop browser, desktop laptop setting. So
speaking of syncing and things you can use on your phone versus on your desktop, probably browser extensions are where it's gets really important to have that syncing or whatever. And those extensions, especially for me, the LastPass extension is kind of a huge part of my browsing experience. And so having that LastPass extension installed on all my different browsers and potentially on my mobile browser as well is a big, big plus for me. Unfortunately, you can't do that on iOS, where you can on Android use your LastPass extension.
Right. Yeah, LastPass would be a showstopper if it were not available on the browser of choice. And now I think recently we shared great news with everybody that LastPass was available on the mobile platform for Android. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't know that it's coming to iOS anytime soon, but definitely on Android. So
fun. On iOS, you actually have to launch the LastPass app and look up your password.
Paste.
Yeah, it's just a lot more cumbersome. More if you're a LastPass user, you know, Martin and I have talked about it quite a bit on the show. When you browse to a website, it automatically fills in your password information. It recognizes the website that you're on, looks up that record, and plops it into the form so that you don't have to do anything but just click the button and use the LastPass password. So,
and we've really encouraged our listeners to think about LastPass, and Gail actually shot me an email earlier today saying thanks for the reminder that you should check out LastPass again, because for, you know, in the insecure world in which we live, different passwords need to be applied to every different site. So it's you need a password manager like LastPass. And because we're using our desktops and our mobile devices, you know, maybe even on an equal par, it's really important to be able to carry those passwords with you.
Absolutely. So always important to be focused on security, Martin. And I think that's one thing with browsers that you do have a little bit of control on, because they are constantly plugging security flaws and things like that. I think Internet Explorer just went through a major security issue because of a flash vulnerability in IE. So if you keep your browser up to date, you're going to have the best defense of all against browser issues that may be security concerns.
Yeah, pay attention, you know, to these bulletins that come out. If nothing else, just listen or watch this podcast. We'll usually bring them up, and that'll be your cue to make sure you apply a patch or just have them automatically updated, and you're going to pretty much be safe unless there's something that's going to take a while to fix. But in most cases, they're fixing it within a week. And just good, safe browsing habits and common sense will keep you away from some of these issues. But you want to make sure that you're staying on top of it regardless.
So is the war over? Did I win? Or
You always win.
Awesome. Yeah, good answer.
That's always the right answer.
Good answer.
So nice job. You don't win anything but the satisfaction. But, so I guess in closing, there are lots of choices, and there are actually wars that go on saying, well, I'm a this or I'm a that, but at the end of the day, use what works for you, because the thing is not the browser, it's what you do in it and the ministry that gets done through it. So, all right, I think we have a ministry resource this week, yes?
Speaking of ministry, we do, and it is courtesy of our good friend, Pastor Rob Gunther, who's up in Kenai, Alaska. You know, Martin, I started watching this show about moving to Alaska on HGTV. They show people house hunting in Alaska, and they talked about Kenai the other day, and I was like, hey, I know somebody that's there.
Okay.
Anyway, they're doing great ministry up in Kenai because Pastor Gunther is using a website called New Mover churchpostcards.com. He just shared with us recently his experience with this company that basically will keep up with people that move into your area. Let's see if I can find what he wrote. They signed up for delivery of postcards with this service. They send a postcard from us directly to the people who have recently moved in or relocated. They get a list from the electric company or phone company for new hookups in the area. They send it out once a month and bill them $5.60 each, which for our small town amounts to $20 to $25 a month. And let me just switch my screen. Here's the postcard they're sending out, A Place to Grow at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church. And they've got information about their church services, their website, their school, a little map included, and that kind of thing. So pretty high quality postcard. Of course, Pastor Gunther wouldn't do anything but high quality work there in Kenai, Alaska. I just never had heard of this website that'll perform this service for you, and maybe, like you said, in a smaller town where the volume isn't super high, might be a good investment for your evangelism dollars to get your name out there to people that are moving in the community.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that ministry resource, Rob. I think he's probably already entered in our ministry resource section for the free giveaway, which is going to happen at the end of this month. And there are precious few entrants. I don't know what the tally is right now. I'll have to go and count it up. But your odds would be good if you were to provide a ministry resource over the next couple weeks, and you would be entered to win an Apple TV. Same with listener reviews, which we don't have one for this week. If you have a review that you'd like to provide of a software package, a website, a some kind of service or hardware, that's what goes in that listener reviews category, and we are giving away an X7 for a lucky contributor to that segment. So time is running out. We'll take more than one submission per week at this point, so sharpen your pencils and get those things over to us. We'd like to build up that collection that we have in ministry resources and listener reviews, because those are extremely helpful, I think, to people who are wondering, you know, what might fit this bill, or should I be using this product or that service. So please do that. WellsTech@wells.net. You can let us know about it, post it someplace. I don't care how you get the information to us. We would be happy to share it.
Yep, the deadline is May 31st, and I think we'll plan to announce those on our June 3rd podcast. That's a special podcast we'll be doing from Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School at the Tech and Teach event there at Kettle, and we'll just have to have somebody draw for us maybe and see who the winners are for those two nice giveaways.
Cool. Let's move on to our tip or tips of the week. Actually, I have a couple tips, so it'll be tips of the week for me this week. Let me do a quick screen share. And there she blows. My tip of the week is live stream options that are now available to subscribe to. So Livestream is our live streaming service. And you have the ability to go to a live stream page. I have the MLC Streams page up. So they stream special services, evening chapel, concerts, recitals, morning chapel, their compline service, commencement services. So rather than having to remember to go here, you can follow by clicking the follow button. You'll need an account, so you need to log in. For instance, MLC right now, and this is a fairly new site because they've subscribed to a new service, a new live stream service, but they have 32 followers here, and you'll get an email when some of these things are going live or coming up, so you can be reminded that, hey, if I go over here, I can tune in to these events and watch them live or watch the recorded versions once they're all done, which is available almost immediately after things are wrapped up. So that's one option. The Synod also has a page called Wells Live, and this is probably timely because we're going to be streaming a bunch of stuff coming up. The Vicar Call Service, the Pastor Call Service, the graduation concert and graduation. So that's May 20th, 22nd.
From Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary.
And 23rd. Did I not say Wisconsin Lutheran
Seminary? No, not yet.
Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, yes. So we go up there every year and do this streaming. So there you can, again, click the follow link. And we haven't actually streamed anything from this new account yet, so we only have one lonely follower. But that's your opportunity to kind of stay in tune with anything that's coming out live via live stream. So that is my tip or tips of the week.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that, Martin. Let's see if I can share my screen because I have a tip of the week as well. And this is straight from the Google official blog, a blog post that was posted today in honor of Teacher Appreciation Day. Google is rolling out a brand new product for Google Apps for Education Suite. It's called Classroom. And I would characterize it potentially as somewhat of a learning management tool, a way to gather assignments and things, make sure that all your communication is one place, and stay organized. And it is going to be ad-free, just like all other products for Google Apps for Education. And at this point, they just have some promo videos. You can go to google.com/edu/classroom and see some case studies and things like that. But they are taking applications from teachers who want to do pilot work with the product over the summer, basically. They're planning to roll it out to all Google Apps for Education accounts in September. So in the coming school year, you'll be able to make use of this on your Google Apps for Education accounts. But if you want to get in early and get a feel for the product, they're taking those applications now. They'll roll it out to those early adopters over the summer and give feedback from you and things like that, refine the tool, and it will be live, according to their announcement, as of September. So check out Google for Education and their Classroom Learning Management System.
So you maybe don't know the answer to this because there's not maybe a lot of details available at this point, but I'm assuming the way you described it, it's going to compete with things like Edmodo, Schoology, Moodle, those kinds of things, but kind of bring the Google products together in a learning management style collaborative way, which makes a lot of sense because everybody using Google Apps for Education has had to do that piecemeal. You've had to figure out how this works with that and how assignments are submitted and graded and all that stuff. If they're going to bring that together, I think that's a huge win for all of our Google Apps for Education schools out there.
Yeah, I saw one person refer to it as a parallel or an improvement upon the Doctopus script. So I think there are some scripts for grading, for gathering work, things like that.
Gotcha.
And this is going to kind of beef that up, I believe. You know, give it a little bit more legitimacy, give it a platform, a location for collaboration and collection of work.
Okay.
We'll see how it develops.
Great. Mm-hmm. All right, great pick or tip.
Mm-hmm. And now I do have a pick. Do I get to go next with my pick?
That's the drill.
The flow. Okay. So my pick for the week is one that I was using actually as I was developing some imagery for our show featured image this week. I pulled together a bunch of icons for Google Chrome, for Safari, for Firefox, and Internet Explorer. And the easy way for me to do that was with the website iconfinder.com. And you can find all kinds of icons here, and you can find icons that are free, that have free for commercial use licensing to them. You can find collections of icons. And when you select a particular icon, at times there are different sizes. This particular one I clicked on doesn't have different sizes. Let's see if I say Chrome. And you can see some of them are fee-based. So if I wanted this particular Chrome icon, it says I can buy it for 99 cents and use it for commercial purposes. Over on the side here, I can limit it to just free icons. And I can also limit it if I want a vector version of the icon or an SVG file. I can limit it to selecting just vector versions. oftentimes when you select an icon, it does have different file formats. It may be available in PNG, ICO, or ICNS, and also additional sizes. And again, I picked one that doesn't have additional sizes. Let's see if I can find one that does. Nope. I'm batting 1,000 here. Okay, so here's one that has additional sizes. So you can download it at 512 or all the way down at 24 by 24 or 16 by 16, whatever your size needs are. Over here it tells you it's free for non-commercial use and has some license information you can click on to read. Some of them have Creative Commons license, and like I said, some are for purchase as well that you can use. Individual icons, back on the homepage, I showed you that there are icon sets. So it's just kind of a collection point for all different types of icons. Perhaps you're redesigning your website and you want some icons to use to represent social media links or whatever it may be. You can find all different types of icons here to select from. Iconfinder.com.
That is very cool. I was not aware of that site. That will come in really handy in my mobile work too. So.
Good. Excellent.
A plus for you today, young lady.
All right. Won the war, got an A plus. What more could I ask for?
Right. She's on a roll. My pick, actually, I have two picks. They're related. So they really only, it's kind of pick one and one A. My pick for the day is a website I stumbled across called Church Tech Today, Technology for Today's Church. And I don't know that we've brought this one up before.
I don't think so.
But there's all kinds of articles on social media, software, websites, mobile, church AV, church communications. It seems to be fairly up to date, and the articles, I think, are useful. And I was the reason I stumbled across this site, I was looking for a pick that had to do with Instagram. Instagram is really popular these days, and we haven't talked a lot about it on this show, and I thought, well, are there resources out there that would help a congregation or a school know what Instagram can do for them? And lo and behold, I came across the Church Tech Today site, churchtechtoday.com, and they have an ebook that was recently released last month, April 18th, 5 Instagram Ideas for Churches. It's you just have to sign up for their newsletter. Can cancel it, but I stayed subscribed because I thought their stuff was good. And you can download this this ebook. So I downloaded it. Let me just change my screen here to the ebook itself. And it's nicely done. It's not a long thing, but I think it covers all of the things that are helpful when you're just starting out learning what Instagram is, and then determining how it might be used in your circumstance. So there's a section here called the lingo, the downsides of the network, the different purposes it can have, how to use the network effectively, and then there's a whole section entitled 5 Instagram Ideas for Your Church, promote a sermon series, crowdsource videos with a hashtag, inspiring images with scripture or quotes, Instagram youth ministry games, or print most favorited Instagram photos. And we've talked about some of these concepts before through different tools, but this kind of brings it all together, makes sense of it in a nice, easy-to-use format, something that you could share maybe with your communications committee, something that could be shared with your outreach or youth ministry. So lots of good stuff here. It is free, and it uses one of the most popular mobile apps out there today. Instagram is mobile only, although there is a site. You can't really upload photos to it, but it's definitely a tool that I would put on par right now with Facebook and Twitter. Instagram kind of has to be in the family photo, as it were. So,
did you mention Pinterest, Martin? Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest? Is that what you said?
Pin what?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm a huge Instagram fan, so I'm not putting you down for that pick. That's a great pick. And, you know, imagery on our websites and in our communication is really powerful, and Instagram is a very popular way to generate cool imagery because there's a lot of filtering and fun things you can do with your photos, and you can also connect them right away to your Facebook page or whatever. So when you upload to Instagram, you can have it go to your Facebook page or maybe to a Flickr set or whatever that you have on your website. So there's lots of ways you can repurpose those Instagram photos as well.
That can be right within the tool itself.
Right, the Facebook ties, the Twitter ties, they can be there. Or you could use a tool like If This Then That.
I was going to say, have
a recipe that uploads it to Flickr automatically or whatever.
Cool.
Lots of possibilities.
And then you get those nice looking filters that take a perfectly good photo and make it look like it came out of a crappy camera. So.
I'm guessing that you don't like the filters, and I love the filters. Wow, we have so many things to argue about today.
Yeah, we could have a whole filters war.
We should just have an argument show. What do you think?
Maybe a summer series.
Argument. Isn't there the Argument Clinic? What is that? Monty Python. So, anyway.
I'm not a Monty Python fan, so you don't have to be
that. So. Look it up.
Am I missing out on that?
Apparently, yeah.
Let's go to our of interest section, Sally. We have a number of things that we want to make sure people are aware of.
And not to be redundant, it's worth mentioning that there's a lot of live streaming opportunities coming up with the MLC and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary graduation services. Those will be on our Streams network that you mentioned earlier. I also mentioned earlier that we're going to be at the Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School Tech and Teach Conference on June 3rd. We'll be broadcasting Wells Tech Live. Come on out and see us and be part of our live studio audience. How exciting would that be? But do it after you've been to the full day conference, which offers 20 different sessions on all kinds of cool technology that you can stew on over the summer and implement into your classroom next fall when school kicks off again. And then finally, Martin, you and I are going to be together again at the end of July. I guess we'll have to do our Wells Tech podcast from the Center for Mission and Ministry that day. But July 29th through 31st, we're going to do some Final Web training. Final Web is the web hosting partner that many Wells congregations and schools use for their websites. So if you're looking to learn more about the Final Web product to start a new website or to beef up your existing website, come and join Martin and me for training. The cost is $49 a day. We have a day specifically for teachers, and then a three-day series called Final Web for Dummies that's kind of everything you could possibly want to know about Final Web. So check out the information. The link is at bit.ly/FWTrainingInfo. And the classes are filling up, folks, so we need you to get registered soon if you would like to be there.
Yeah, we don't have an infinite amount of space available, so there are a few seats left, but not a lot. So
correct.
If you're planning on bringing your whole team, now's the time to sign up. So, and that would be a good idea, especially if you are an educator. Bring your teachers. That's one of the classes that we have the most seats available for. So consider bringing a number of faculty members, because in that class, that I believe it's on Tuesday. Or is
the 29th? No, that's Tuesday.
Tuesday. It's all about creating classroom websites and using the tool that you already have in place for building that communications tool and a tool that your students can use to stay up to date on what's going on within the classroom as well as parents. So, all right, let's move on to community back.
I'm excited for this segment because we had to skip it last week. We had so much great content, we didn't have time for our community feedback, and I always enjoy hearing from those that listen to the show, although I guess the first community feedback is one that I submitted. And this is from our friends at Christian Copyright Solutions. Martin, we've talked about this website before as being a great location to get answers to copyright issues around all different things in your congregation. And they have a wonderful newsletter. That's actually how I found this article. They featured it in a recent newsletter. It came out right after Easter, and it said, okay, you're done with Easter services. Now it's time to recruit your fall volunteers. And I was like, really? It's April. You want to recruit volunteers for next fall's kickoff events and things like that? But it basically was a good reminder that your volunteers have have served during Holy Week. They may be really excited about being part of the Easter service. Maybe you had new people helping with your video production or projection or whatever it may be, and they would like to get involved in more areas of ministry. And the summer gives you good time to train them as well. So if you're going to potentially start live streaming in the fall or something like that, take the time now to think ahead to your volunteer needs and go ahead and tap into those folks that are excited about their Easter service to get them more in the volunteer swing of things. I thought it was a good reminder.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Jason Schmidt tagged a page. This is from Cozad Community Schools, and to be honest, I don't even know where that is located. Should have looked it up, but somewhere they have the school district that is using iPads. And this is basically a resource page that you could use for ideas if you're looking for a one-to-one iPad initiative, or maybe even a different type of one-to-one initiative, where they have things like graduating seniors. You need to get your hardware turned back in, and it has to be in working condition. We have deadlines for that. We have a classroom iPad policy posted here. We have parent-student social media contract posted here. So if you're just looking for some resource-type forms and policies and things like that, especially around iPads, this would be a good website to tag and reference as you develop your own policies.
Cool. By the way, Sally, I'm really disappointed that you don't know where Cozad is. Everybody knows that it's right in the middle of Nebraska, just a little west of Kearney and a little east of North Platte.
Everybody with a browser that they can search in while I'm doing the heavy lifting here.
That is true.
Whatever.
Just trying to practice good browsing habits.
Nebraska makes sense. It's my good friend Jason is out there. That's in right. Nebraska.
So now we all know where Cozad is.
Thanks for educating us. Okay, my good friend Rob Gunther, who we talked about earlier in the show up in Kenai, Alaska, sent us some more tips and tricks this week. One is called Batched Inbox, and this is basically a way to limit email distractions. They'll hold up all your Gmail and send it to you when you schedule it so that you don't get all those pop-ups and have the distraction of stopping to read email messages. It's a batched.
For the undisciplined among us.
Yeah, I think there might be some of those.
Because you could actually just close your browser window or not have Gmail open and accomplish the same purpose. But this really enforces it. So I think that's probably a good starter drug if you want to just kind of ease out of it. And then once you've kind of done that, then it becomes habit. You can kind of do it yourself. So, good tool.
Excellent. All right. And then Rob sent us some links to different ebook solutions. And, full disclaimer, he remembers us arguing over paper versus ebook in the past. And he is definitely an ebook aficionado. The first one he sent us a link to was free at the time, because sometimes Amazon books will come up for free. But unfortunately, now it's $5.99. So you missed out on that window to grab the book for free. It's called The Curtain. And the reason he sent it to us is because it's kind of related to our dark side of the internet discussion. Mm. The premise of the book is some evildoers on the internet, marketing people that know way too much about you and things like that. So if you're looking for a dark side of the internet read, you might want to check out this ebook, The Curtain.
Weren't depressed enough, yes, there is your fix. Was he the one, or somebody shared the fact that there's maybe an RSS feed or email subscription where you can get these, what's free, sent right to you so you don't miss these opportunities?
You know what? I was just getting to that, Martin. There's a website called Zero Friction Books that has Kindle books that are currently free, and the ones that, there's some that are permanently free, and there's others that come up at times. So you can use this website. Perhaps there's an RSS feed with this. I didn't read that in what he wrote to us, but I think this Zero Friction Books, obviously you got to cull through a lot to find good reading there, but if you're into ebooks, check out Zero Friction Books, and also gospelebooks.net, which I think we've talked about before. Some are free, some are pay for, but they do have Christian associated with them in some way. So you're going to be a little bit safer in browsing the list at Gospel Ebooks than you would probably at at the Zero Friction site.
Great.
So good.
Thanks,
ebooks.
Matt. As usual.
Sources. And then finally, Martin, I just want to make mention of an email we have from our friend Sally Valesky. She's
Sally,
down
thank you.
At Abiding Word in Houston, and she was inquiring about a scripture texting service. Is there something that perhaps a teenager could subscribe to and get text of scripture verses or devotional-oriented content in that small format, that text format, delivered to their phones, which they're constantly in touch with? And I'm not familiar with a service specifically like that, but you had a great idea, Martin. You mentioned possibly using
Twitter. Yeah, Twitter. You can set Twitter and different feeds or people that you're following to text you when they tweet. And there are a bunch of Twitter feeds. One that I'm aware of, called Daily_Bible or @Daily_Bible, which will send out a tweet a day of a scripture passage. I think there are a lot of those kinds of things. I think Time of Grace does something similar. There are other things that might be worthy of, you know, subscribing to the Twitter feed and then have them sent right to your phone. So I think that's maybe the best approach.
Excellent choice suggestion. And if there are others out there that are using some type of texting service, please let us know so we can share that on the show as well.
Very good. All right. Let's tell everybody what's going on next week, Sally. Another competition.
Yeah, we're all about competitions, aren't we? Next week we're talking about do-it-yourself solutions, and we did this last month, and we each kind of kept our secrets about what we were developing. It was about iPhone stands or smartphone stands. This month's do-it-yourself project is a way to deal with all your cables. And I know we all have this, and they get unsightly as they tangle under your desk or whatever. And so we're looking for solutions for dealing with cables, keeping our work areas neat and those cables out of sight and out of mind. So I've got some good ideas. I've been doing some searching. We'll see what Martin comes up with. We'll see who is the winner. We're all winners here.
DIY cable solutions. And we hope to also have an interview next week, Sally. Peter Frank from Concordia Technology Solutions. I believe he is a product manager. I may be wrong on that. He can correct us if we are. But he is going to hopefully share with us some good news for anybody looking to implement an e-giving solution for the congregation. CTS has just formed a relationship with Vanco and now has an offering that makes it easy for congregation members to give via credit card or directly from your bank account, and kind of a nice packaged offering. So see if that makes sense for you. We're also going to talk to him about their new ledger product. So now there's feature parity with the Shepherd Staff line of modules. Before, when they just launched the Church 360 products, they didn't have the finance module. Now with this Ledger Online module, there is good news on that front as well. So all kinds of finance stuff coming out of CTS. So you want to tune in next week to listen to what that is all about.
I wouldn't want to miss it. So
I'll be there.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, watching. We didn't have any listener or viewer questions today. That is always available, and we would encourage you that if you are available at 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoons, join us live. It's fun. You kind of see us in living color, live and kind of in person. And you can ask questions or make comments, because we make that available to everybody who is watching or listening live. You can do it right there on the YouTube channel or the Google Hangouts channel there. So please consider that, because we'll be doing it next week at 4 o'clock. Thank you all for listening, watching, and hope you tune in next week. Blessings on your week. See you soon.